7, 8. Caffeinated faith with Ray and E. Jesus talk.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, and welcome to Caffeinated Faith with Ray and E.
I didn't know which way you were going with that.
Welcome to Caffeinated Faith with
Ray
and E.
In case you haven't caught that.
Your main girls. This is our Christian-based podcast where we talk about tough things, fun things, important things, all in our faith. And we're here to share it with you and to answer any questions you may have. Feel free to reach out to us.
And we are on episode 18 today.
That's crazy.
We're almost at the 20 mark.
it's crazy.
It is crazy. And it is one of the hardest but good topic that we're talking about today.
It is. It is forgiveness and grace.
Yes, it is.
Which is the hardest thing as humans that we could possibly do. I'm sure anyone hearing that can relate.
Mm-hmm. Especially because I feel like we always expect things quickly for ourselves, but when other people ask us for the forgiveness or even God, they expect it like right then and there.
Yeah.
And sometimes when it's us in control of it, I feel like we hold on to it in a way, and we're like in control of it. So
right,
it's hard to release that.
No, it is. I feel like it's humanly impossible to forgive without the grace of God.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
And if they say
like
they can,
fully,
yeah. And if they say they can, then I don't think it's true.
Or enough. I don't think it's enough. I really don't, because now you have to love them,
right?
As you love yourself, you have to love them as a
well,
sister,
if
brother.
You do
know?
It yourself, I feel like you still have some type of control. When the whole point is not to have control, you're supposed to give God the control, so that He could obviously give you the grace and everything to do that.
Well, luckily there is support and there is someone there, our Creator, that can help with that.
You know what's funny actually today is that as I was like reviewing my like notes and everything, out of like this morning I was scrolling and I follow a bunch of like Christian like accounts. You'll see like verses all on my feed and stuff, and one of them was about forgiveness, and I was like, oh, that's funny because we're talking about that today. And then I went work and I always have the Christian playlist on, right? So a song came on that's in my playlist, but I've never really heard it because I just add new music, and it was about forgiveness. And I was like, wow. I was like, twice in one day.
Out of all the topics.
Right.
That's cool. I love to see stuff like that.
I'll have to send you that song because it's kind of a cool song as I was listening to it.
Do it.
It's called The Jesus Way, because we need Him, you know? As you just said.
We sure do. No, even though, you know, it seems like, well, I don't want to forgive, and I, you know, they hurt me so bad, I'll never forgive them. It's absolutely necessary in our walk with God. And I know it might seem hard again, but it is the way, and we just need to get ourselves there because life is so much better.
It is the way, the Jesus way. Sorry. But honestly,
it's so much better. Living with God.
It is. Because, you know, if we keep score, we haven't really, like, score of each time somebody's done something to you and everything, and we hold on to that, then we haven't really forgiven them. And that just makes us resentful and bitter.
Yeah.
Bitter. Like.
No, it does. Even, I can honestly say that is a fact that, you know, what we were just saying, how you can't forgive without God, because I'm living it, like.
What
you
do
know,
you mean?
A couple of years ago, I couldn't forgive all the people that mess with me. Like, I would always get upset about it. I would always feel like, wow to them.
Have you always been like that, like before?
I mean, I'm human.
I'm just asking because but you personally, because I know everybody deals with that type of stuff differently.
I think out of like a regular human being, I'm not the worst, because I've never held grudges like that. Like, I was always able to at least not really hold them to it, you know? Mm-hmm. I would let go of some of it, but there would still be that little piece of me that wouldn't forgive them fully.
Right.
So I've seen
that
much
control.
Worse. Like, I've seen much worse. Some people could never. They will never forgive, no matter what.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's bad.
I don't know why, but as you were saying that, so I was actually thinking about myself, like, reflecting back on my life, because it's not, I mean, I've never had, like, anything crazy go on. Like, I don't have, like, a list of people or a list of things that's mm-hmm. been done to me. But I feel like I've always gotten over stuff, like, really quickly. I still do.
You were always taught to as well, which is amazing.
Right.
To know that.
But also, I feel like I pick and choose my battles. So, like, mm-hmm. I'm not going to hold on to every single little thing that somebody does. I'll brush it off or I'll, like, or maybe, like, keep tabs on it and be like, okay, I remember they did this. Let's see if they do it again type of thing. Then I'll confront the person. But yeah. I don't know. I think I've always just gotten over it too quickly. I even do that now. Even when I argue with my husband, it's like, we'll argue. I might be mad, but then 10 minutes later, I'm like, all right, I'm over it. Like, let's just.
Is it too quickly though? Because that's healthy. I feel like that's healthy way to forgive.
Yeah, but also if I just brush everything off, then it gives people, oh, okay, she's gonna just forgive me again anyway. They'll like walk all over me in a way.
Yeah. Do you feel like you need to talk to them to resolve the issue first? Like, you're not doing that sometimes?
Yeah, or? I mean, I feel like as I got older, I do realize that obviously I'm more aware of things and people around me. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, I'll even, like, if I have, like, a hardcore conversation with you or somebody else or whatever, you know that if I feel like I came across harshly, I have to message the person and be like, okay, wait, I didn't mean to do it like that, and just talk it out, because I do care about what people feel as well, because they're also human, so it's like, you're not just a disposable.
You don't want anyone to feel a certain way about you, and you want them to, like, forgive you in a sense too, for because we're all human, we all make mistakes,
right? And as I was thinking back in my life, I mean, obviously I'm gonna go through something. I'm not gonna always have, like, a clean slate, so like, a couple people came in mind. But what was crazy to me when I was thinking about it is that one was a Christian, one wasn't, and so but the crazy part to me was that going through whatever I was going through with those people, the end result being whether how they acted or the words that they chose to say, mm-hmm. you couldn't tell the difference of who was the churchgoer and who wasn't. And that was the sad part, because, you know, like, we're supposed to be a certain way when we like, forgive if you have Christ, but if that Christian is acting like the non-believer in that sense, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was just crazy to me when I was thinking back on that.
No, it's true. You want to have the same forgiveness that you give others too.
Right.
We desire that. We are godly people and we are human. We don't want anyone.
Sorry.
We don't want anyone to have resent towards us.
Right. But I also feel like, like, even if the people who you do forgive, maybe you don't, like, you're not with them anymore, whether they're friends or family, whatever the case is, I feel like, for me, I would be okay with that, because, you know, when it's, like, peaceful, like, a peaceful leaving, you know what I mean? Like, if you don't realize it, then all of a sudden you're like, oh, wait a second, I realize I haven't talked to them in that long. Maybe God removed them for a reason, because obviously the people are in your life for seasons. Mm-hmm. Like, for that whatever reason.
Yeah, but we can still pray for them.
Right.
We can still care about them.
Yeah.
And if they reached out, I'm sure you'd be there for them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, if you see them, like, out somewhere and they quickly say, hey, I'm not going to be like, oh, turn the corner. I'm going to say, oh, hey, how are you, you know?
We don't have to constantly surround ourselves with people that are negative or that we don't necessarily grow with, you know, or like bad influences. We don't have to, but it also is our duty to love them and pray for them and be there for them,
even as hard as it may be sometimes.
Hard as that may be, yes. But the best thing we could do, and we hear all the time, is be an example for people that, you know, that don't have the same beliefs as us, or people that have done us wrong. We can show God's grace.
And since we're supposed to have the forgiveness to reflect how God is, because he has a heart that's full of, like, love, mercy, and grace. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's important for us to forgive, so that we could disperse his qualities out there to people.
Oh, yeah. More like Jesus.
More like Jesus. The Jesus way.
That's going to be the theme of our whole episode.
You got to sing that song soon.
And I'm not mad about it.
We're always trying to look for new songs to sing.
So I have a couple definitions here of forgiveness.
Do you? I copied you again.
Ah, that's my thing. Whatever. Back off. Sorry, I'm just kidding.
I'm hopping on.
So the biblical and the regular definition that I've kind of come across is very similar to each other, actually. Unlike the grace definition, but that'll be later. But so forgive is to stop feeling angry or resentful towards someone, or to cancel a debt, which that's what God does. And that's in like the regular definition, which is great. And biblical forgiveness is the act of releasing or dismissing someone of their sins and no longer holding it against them.
Oh, that's similar to what I had.
Nice.
I just said forgiveness is the act of releasing others or oneself from guilt and resentment.
Yeah. So, you know, it's very similar to canceling a debt. It's more so because we... I think the biblical definition has more like sin in it, because that's what we strive to not do and we know more about. So it just incorporates that, which is great. So imagine that sin is a force that glues onto the sinner, right? Mm-hmm. Sin is a force that glues onto the sinner, and forgiveness is the divine way to remove it.
Oh.
Isn't that really cool?
That is cool.
So, without God, there's no divine, right?
Right.
The creator is divine. So, it's going to be really hard to remove that glue, essentially. That's some strong glue.
The visual that I have of this.
I know, but isn't it a cool way to think about it?
Yeah.
It's the divine way to remove it. So
that sounds divine.
It's a lot. Yes. It's a lot easier when you have that divine creator in your heart. It's a wonderful thing. So having Jesus in your heart essentially gives you the strength and ability to forgive out of God's power, not yours. Your own.
Exactly. Yes. I was going to say that before you even...
Dang. So yes, it's not based upon our own power. It's very clear to, if you weren't Christian before and you are now, it's very clear where forgiveness can stem from. And
Power is a strong word. Huh? Power is a strong word, because everybody wants to have that power, especially over themselves. Like, nobody can tell me what to do or how to do things.
Right. But we are called to humble ourselves.
And release.
Listen, if you want the power, you better repent and you better pray, because God will give us his gifts through us.
Exactly. He has a stronger power. So why not go with that route and let God handle it? Because even as we always say, better things always come out of it when he does it his way anyway. Mm-hmm.
He gives us the power of the fruit of the spirit. That is power right there, because you can't have no good, love, patience, goodness, kindness, all that stuff.
Faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
Yes. We are animals.
I heard you mumbling throughout the end of that.
We are animals, and we cannot behave in the way that God wants us to without God.
Yes.
It's true, though. It is so true. And we've been given this mercy from God. We need to practice that same mercy on others.
I wish we were videotaping this right now. I know. You almost karate chopped your table.
I know. It's a very touchy, strong subject.
It's very powerful.
To be forgiven, you need to forgive.
Pregent.
That's what we need to do.
And what's it called? I have a scripture for forgiveness in Romans chapter 12. I was going to read a couple of verses, but I kind of went beyond that and I kind of liked it again.
It's okay.
So I'll start at 9. It says, "Don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection, and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them.
Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other and with those who are happy. Sorry. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil, which is important. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge, I will pay them back, says the Lord. So that's why if you let him be in control of you and your life and everything that comes with it, he will handle everything in the way that it should, which is stronger than what you could ever do yourself. Because the more you try to do yourself, the more you're going to fail. You could try, try, but it's never going to end in the way that it needs to. And the hardest part that I've read in here was also to bless those who persecute you and not curse them, but instead pray for them, which is definitely hard. But once you do it, you won't.
And that's part of forgiveness. And also my favorite part is don't pay back evil with more evil.
You're just adding fuel to the fire. What's the point of that?
It's literally the worst thing you can do. It's from the enemy. It's definitely not forgiveness, because you wouldn't want to do that. If you truly forgave someone, you would just want to literally say they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Like that's what we are called to believe in. You know,
right? And like, understand. And like how I was saying before about how I always have to be at peace with everybody. Mm-hmm. I always, like, before I message them, I'll pray to God, be like apologizing, because obviously sometimes I probably shouldn't say or act the way I should. And then I would message them and make sure like we're good, talk it out, and everything. And when I leave that conversation and let's say everything goes well, I leave with a weight lifted off, and like it's like this peace that I'm just like excited to have. And so like just imagine that in any other situation and what God can give you.
Yeah.
It just feels like a breath of fresh air.
Yep. And not just for, you can't do it just for the people that you love. You need to do it to anyone.
Right.
We are all his creation and we're called to love one another.
Yeah.
As hard as that is.
And I still pray for God to deliver me to with certain people and this and that, and like you know, because I do want to love like Jesus. So
but we're so young, we have a lot of time to learn and soften our hearts even more. We're lucky to be this young and just want, desire him and be strong in our faith. So,
and what's important too is that if you claim to be a believer but not be able to forgive, then we're in sin. So just because you're a believer doesn't mean you're not going to sin. But like if you hold on to it and you claim that you are a believer, but you still can't forgive them and whatever it is, then you're still in sin. And the biggest thing is that is the word pride, because that gets in the way, and that definitely won't help us to forgive or be forgiven.
Yes.
Because the premise of our faith has to do with repentance, of course, but also forgiving, which is really important, as you couldn't tell.
It sure is. Sorry.
No, you're good. But there was one Sunday that my dad, I have something that my dad had said on one Sunday, and it's funny because when I was thinking about what he had said and I looked back, it reminded me of what you said about me, like writing, when my dad is preaching, like how you always see me, like always.
Yeah.
You know? So I have like a whole book of all of his notes. And one of them was when he said, if you hold it in your heart, then the memories are vivid. You have to ask God to give us strength to forgive, to be able to actually do it.
Yep.
And it even says in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
Yeah.
So forgiveness is definitely reciprocal.
Yep.
And we seek God for forgiveness. And that's why we're also supposed to like extend it to others.
Oh yeah, makes total sense. Just going back to what you said, forgiveness can only be done if our hearts are prepared. Essentially is what you were saying, right? Like meaning that only God gives us the ability to forgive, especially the ones who we're not fond of, like we were just saying, like that's not an easy ability to have. And it's not going to be done correctly without Christ, unfortunately.
Yeah, not correctly at all. And just to take a step further from what he had also said, is that he said that God blesses those who forgive. So, and when he said this, this like analogy, it kind of, at the time, it gave me goosebumps because I never thought of it this way. He said, you become the prisoner in your own heart when you hold on to grudges and don't release forgiveness. You become bitter, and how can we glorify God with that? So yeah. The fact that we're like a prisoner, and he was saying how you have bars on your heart because you're holding on to everything. So although the person is the one that maybe did something to you to make you angry or whatever the case is, you're the problem. You're the prisoner because you're not the one releasing that forgiveness. For some reason, you want it to prolong it. And
yeah.
I don't know how it benefits the person by doing that, because then you're just growing all these other rotten fruits that you shouldn't be having.
Yeah.
So.
No, that's true. Honestly.
It's hard to let go and let God to do his thing.
Yes. That's my favorite quote ever. Let go and let God.
Let go and let God.
Yeah.
And if once you do that, you'll be fruitful in everything that you do. And if, again, as I said, if you hold back, then you're holding back all the blessings that you could be given in your life.
Right.
God wants to bless you. So, but if you're blocking God from doing anything in your life, you're not going to get that, the blessings that he has for you.
Right. And we also need to practice forgiveness to gain our own salvation, too, which is like what we live for, like as Christians. Like, we want to be with God eternally. Therefore, we want to obey his word. And we must forgive others to be cleansed by Jesus' blood, legit, like, and not out of our own selfishness, like you were saying before, like, you can't just, you know, pretend to forgive. Like, God knows.
Gotta be genuine.
God knows all what's going on. You have to forgive out of love, like, true love and obedience to God. You cannot pretend to forgive others. It doesn't work that way. We cannot forgive out of our own selfishness to want God to forgive us. I'm going to forgive because I want to be forgiven. Or I want to forgive so I can go to heaven one day.
It's just like a check mark, like a tally of like what you got to do that you know that God wants you to do. But if you're not genuinely doing it because you want to, it's still not going to get you nowhere.
And if you're struggling with that, you need to pray about it, because we are human.
Yeah.
We could be, you know, sometimes do things to be like, oh, I don't want to get in trouble with our Father, you know?
Yeah.
We're human. We can have those thoughts like that, but we really need to pray and reach out to him to be able to genuinely do it.
Yeah. And if you are a believer, you're supposed to, they say that you become, that you're like made new. So like your past is dead and you're made new. So like, why not just be new and do
be real.
And be everything that he wants you to be. Cause if you're not, then you haven't been renewed yet fully at least.
Right.
But yeah,
no, it's true. It really does require like his supernatural guidance, you know, and we all know how hard it is to really forgive. So just keep all of this in mind. So Jesus actually forgave people who nailed him to the cross at the scene. He was literally getting tortured, ridiculed, mocked as the king he is.
Yeah.
And he literally,
there was what you were saying, there was something in Luke that I read one time where he was even that he was like, forgive them for they don't know what they're doing. And
that's exactly what it is.
Is it?
Yeah.
And him just saying that, even not knowing, like, he obviously knows what all of our sins are and this and that, but no matter what it was, he even had the courage to even say that and be like, forgive them for they don't know what you're doing.
Right. And I'm not even going to read that anymore because you just recited it for me.
You're welcome.
But basically, you know, the scripture says when they came to a place called the Skull and nailed him to the cross, you know, when he had the criminals on the left and right side, they were mocking him and everything. And that's when Jesus, like, right after they nailed him to the cross, he prayed for them.
Yeah.
He freaking prayed for them.
He even got betrayed and everything. He got ridiculed. He got everything, and he is like, forgive them still. And like,
forgive them.
Yet you see us over here on Earth not forgiving people over the stupidest thing.
The tiniest little thing.
Right. Like, imagine how much more at peace and how much better your life would be if you just release that forgiveness. You don't have to be friends with them or mm-hmm. whatever, but at least you forgive and walk away on a good note.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Go, Jesus. I want to be like you for that. I mean, I can't. He was human. Mm-hmm. Like, even though he was the king, he came here in human form for a reason, to feel the emotions and pain and everything. And for that purpose, he knew all along that was going to happen. And he still had God's grace, and he still out loud forgave everyone.
Yeah.
If they couldn't see that, like,
I wish I could see all their faces when he said that. Like,
right.
Because he's not going to be quiet about it. He was obviously talking to God
mm-hmm.
from the cross. So it's like, I would love to see what their faces would have been like. And how they would have felt. Be like, wow, I did all that and he's still going to forgive me. Like, that should show the type of person that Jesus is.
And I believe after that, they were saying stuff like, oh, you know, he claims to be a healer and do all these miracles. Well, let's see if he can get out of this one, pretty much.
Right.
So maybe in a sense, they were like, all right, let's see if he can get out himself. But that wasn't the plan. So
yeah, the plan
Jesus
was
going to do that.
Yeah.
No.
For him to always go back.
Yeah, he did that for a reason. He did that to change the way of life as it used to be. God didn't want to be so, I guess, how do you explain it? Like, mm-hmm. God didn't want to be so, harsh anymore. I think that's when he had to do that,
mm-hmm.
right? Jesus had to die on the cross for our sins.
And it's funny how they wanted to see if he could get out of that, because he showed so many miracles from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that, like, how could you not believe after seeing him raise somebody from the dead and heal the blind and this and that, mm-hmm. you know? So, like,
some of his followers still turned away,
right.
And I'm sure they're up in heaven with him because Jesus forgave them.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully they repented before anything else.
Right.
But, yeah, what grace he has. I do have a little scripture. Bear with me. It's a few paragraphs, but it's really good. I like this one. It's this is about the unforgiving debtor. It's Matthew 18, 21 through 35. It says, then Peter came to him and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? 7 times? No, not 7 times, Jesus replied, but 77 times. I'm sorry, 70 times 7. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. He couldn't pay, so his master ordered that he be sold, along with his wife and children and everything he owned, to pay the debt. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, please be patient with me and I will pay it all. Then his master was filled with pity for him and he was released and forgave his debt. But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. So the one who just got forgiven and let go, he went to one of his fellow servants who owed him a few thousand. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged him for a little more time. Be patient with me and I will pay it, he pleaded. But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. Then the king called in the man that he had forgiven and said, you evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have shown mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? Then the king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. tortured until he had paid his entire debt. That's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. Mm. He explains it very boldly here. And the last three words, I think, is the most important to me out of this whole thing, because it says from your heart. He didn't say if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters. He said from your heart, which mm-hmm. is what we were talking about, like out of love.
Yeah.
If you don't do it from your heart, it's not forgiven. It's not erased, you know? So that's a big, this is all Jesus talking in a parable. He's trying to compare it to that, you know, a mm-hmm. story he said. He said, that's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you don't forgive from your heart.
Yeah, because...
like, how important is that?
Because when we do sin, our debt... like, if you think about it, with this parable, relating it, our debt runs into billions and is unpayable. Like, imagine mm-hmm. how many times you've sinned and all this and that, and it, if you run up that bill, you're not going to ever be able to pay it, no matter how hard you work, right?
Right.
So that itself is part of opening the fountain of God's mercy that only God can pay off for you. That's how powerful and strong that God is.
Right.
And our only hope is to truly be forgiven out of the free mercy of God in Christ. And it's, I love that you actually brought this up, because last time I actually taught this to the youth at church. So
this parable?
Yeah.
Aw.
Yeah.
It's a really strong one.
And there's a song that goes with this.
Is it? Is there?
70 times. Have you heard of that?
No.
Oh, you got to hear that song. It reminds me of
it. It explains the whole parable.
It should.
I love it.
Yeah. Oh. I love this parable. Because it just shows how much God can forgive you and erase all your debts if you just come to Him.
I am circling from your heart right now, because it's not going to work otherwise, guys. You can't be fake. You can't do it in selfishness. From your heart. That is the only way.
The truth. And it'll give you life.
He is basically saying, like, you will not live eternally with me. You will be tortured in hell if you don't start forgiving others from your heart.
Mm-hmm. Preach it.
I'm sorry, but if that is not clear enough to what we have to do in this life and strive for in this life, I'm sorry for you and I will pray for you.
Oof. And she means that.
I'm sorry.
I am sorry for you. I am sorry for you. That is crazy.
I am. I don't want to be that person.
And you shouldn't be that person to do that or to go there.
I will try my hardest in life not to be that person.
And it's definitely a good goal.
Yes. This is not spreading hate to anyone. I'm genuinely terrified and I'm genuinely sorry for anyone that doesn't have God.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible is prophecy. We see it in life. We see it in what is written in here. We see the truth. We've seen things come to life from the Bible. And so if you're going to sit there and say the Bible was rewritten, this and that, that's what I hear all the time. I'm going to be real. I hear it all the time. How does that explain the prophecy that we're seeing come true in the Bible? How does it explain the very teachings in the Bible that we feel change our lives?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel it's alive when I'm reading it, you know? There's so many things that prove the Bible is actually factual. And I'm going to stand by it because I see a difference in myself and a lot of people around me. And I'm very sorry if that was too hard, but it's the truth.
Yeah, preach the truth. don't sugarcoat things just because of what others think.
No.
If God was, if Jesus was always bold in everything he did, then that's what we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
I know that you said non-believers, but I also think it's sad that it could also be the so-called believers.
Yeah.
Even if you grew up in church, or maybe you claim that you are Christian and have God, but don't walk the walk.
Yeah.
They probably don't even read the Bible, because they're probably too lazy to read the Bible or whatever the case is.
Right.
So maybe they don't know exactly what is in the
yeah.
Bible as like the truth and what's coming alive and this and that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's just sad that whether you're a believer, as well, a so-called believer or non-believer, yeah. it's scary, like you said, because right. you never know who's true and who's not, you know?
Yep. And we see that a lot. I see it in people I know. I see it in people with people on like even social media. Like I started following a few people that were, you know, like reading scripture and talking about God. I literally yesterday I saw that same girl. She's a model, but she literally is half naked in all of her photos. And then she has random videos of her like reading the Bible.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't understand. That is such a false thing to do. Like,
yeah.
You cannot be showing your butt cheeks and your whole body and then be a Christian.
Or at least if you claim that you're actively walking the walk, mm-hmm. talking the talk, how are you going to walk around looking like that?
Mm-hmm.
Or acting. If you dress like that, I could only imagine how you act. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like behind closed doors.
But I almost believed her with, you know, some videos that I've seen. But then I'm like, I don't get it. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. That's why you got to be careful. And you never know who's true and who's not true. Like mm-hmm. how I said, like, just because you pick up a Bible and read it,
right.
great. But anybody could do that. It's just, are you receiving what is being put down?
Mm-hmm.
Are you receiving and applying it? Applying it is the main part of it that you have
right.
to do. And understanding it and living it, breathing it, eating it.
Right. Like,
you know.
I want to see it quickly before we move on. I want to see your opinion on this. You know the show with Wizards of Waverly Place?
Yeah, with Selena Gomez.
Okay, you know Selena Gomez's brother?
In the show.
In the show.
Yes. Yeah.
What's his name? David Kennedy or something?
Something like that.
All right. Well, I just saw a reel pop up last night about him being a Christian and turning Christian. And he was on a podcast and he was explaining how he got there and he like really dug deep with like science and everything. And he came to realize that there is a God. There is
yeah.
a God, and he believes, and that's how he became into Christianity. But then I you know, I checked to see if he had more stuff, like Christian stuff. And then I go to his thing and, you know, they're revamping Wizards of Waverly Place.
Like in a good way?
So it's like, it's going to be a new show, and Selena Gomez and him and the parents are going to be on it,
just
but like
no
with new kids. Like it's a spinoff of it.
Uh-huh.
But that show has wizards and magic and all of that. So my thought went straight to like, are you really
wait,
a
so in the spinoff, they're still going to do the whole wizard thing and
yeah,
everything?
It's
oh.
like Wizards of something else. Like it's
gotcha.
Still.
I thought they were doing a spinoff and maybe it was like they were going to cancel off the wizard part and be something positive, you know?
No. So I went to his profile hoping there, like, I'd see more Christian content. And then I saw that and I'm like, oh, wait. And I don't know if I'm overthinking it. I'm not, right? Like,
no, because, I mean, if in the past he obviously wasn't Christian and stuff and he was doing it, then
mm-hmm.
that's one thing. But if you've claimed that you are now walking with God and you're truly doing everything.
Yeah.
And then you go back to doing wizards, it's like,
right.
why? Because you obviously know the truth on that now and
mm-hmm.
where it comes from and derives from, so like...
Okay, I can just hear people saying, like, it's not a big deal, it's a Christian, it's a kid movie, it's a kid show, why is it such a big deal?
But
it's
evil
innocent.
Is not for kids. Like,
why
wizards.
Is it evil? But I'm just thinking
yeah,
of
yeah,
questions,
know.
You know?
I would have them read the Bible. No, I'm kidding.
Sorcery. It's sorcery.
Yeah.
It's magic. We are
witchcraft.
Not allowed to do any
yeah.
of that. It's yes. It's witchcraft. So
yeah.
It's
like worshiping the devil.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, because I mean, picture like us or something like that. Like if I went on something and it was against the Bible and
mm-hmm.
okay, if I was on a reality show. That we watch, and obviously there's always gonna be making out and like sex,
mm-hmm.
drugs, whatever the case is,
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, oh, it's a good opportunity because I get to be on TV, but
X, Y, and Z is going to happen on that show, and I'm right. aware of that, that's
an abomination right. to God. That literally, when you purposely sin, when you know you're sinning, that's the worst thing you can do.
Yeah. Actually, one time, I forgot what show it was, but it was a reality show, and this person said that they grew up, like, with their dad or uncle, whoever, being a pastor, and they were in church, but obviously they, like, grew away from that, and then he was on this show, and I was just like, but how, knowing all that you know, and knowing what you're going into, how can you still be okay with mm-hmm. allowing that, you know?
It's true.
I don't know. It's
a lot. I just had to say that.
So, but does he fall under the... Because I know lately there's been a lot of, like, people in Hollywood, like, oh, I'm Christian now, this and that. And I know some are true and some are not. So, like, I wonder if he falls under the not.
It's just seeing that kind of was like, yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't know about that.
Yeah, yeah. You know? I mean, only God knows, I guess, but... Mm-hmm. There was also, like, Kanye, who had that whole Christian album and then had his church on Sundays, and then that died.
Yeah, but you saw everything after that, too.
Yeah, and then, like, Kat Von D, I think, was it you? The makeup brand. She turned Christian, and that was a big one. Yeah. So I know that's true. What's her name? Black China, Angela White. She got rebaptized. Well, got baptized in her pool and mm-hmm. everything, and she even got her fillers removed. She's, like... natural now. Wow. She's like claims to be Christian, so I hope that it just spreads back into Hollywood like that.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure like that's biblical as well. I've heard little things, I could be mistaken, but that like superior people, like big famous icons, people will start to turn.
Yeah,
like some of them,
and if they're that big to others like here mm-hmm. then maybe kids now will be like, oh, I want to be like her. Mm-hmm. And then maybe see what it can do and what it can be, and then maybe it could open up a whole new mm-hmm. you know.
I love that. And the amount of like Christian movies coming out and theaters too.
Yeah,
I swear, like I was at the movies a few months ago and I saw like three Christian, like you know what I'm talking about,
the movies.
No, like previews, sorry.
Oh, previews.
Like previews, and I'm like, whoa, that's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, moving on to grace.
Because without, you have to have one with the other. Forgiveness and grace together.
For sure. And it's God's grace that gives us forgiveness. So they're very linked.
Amen. I have a verse for grace in Ephesians. And I'm going to read. I cannot tell you how much I'm going to read, but I'm going to read. And it actually... I like how it starts to where I was actually going to go. So, starting at verse 1, it says, "Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us as shown in all that he has done for us who are united with Jesus." So these last two verses I was going to read. So it says, "God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it. Mm-hmm. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." And so just reading all of that, it just shows how grace is undeserved. Because as you read from like how we used to all be to where we are now, if you believe, just seeing all the things that we've done in our past and this and that, like the fact that he could just give you that grace.
It's undeserving.
Right.
Yeah.
And what's it called? And it transforms believers because once the person accepts God through faith, Then they're made new, like how I mentioned before. And it could strengthen them in their weaknesses, and it helps them grow spiritually as well, the more you practice it.
100%. We also receive all of the gifts of God, right? And that's grace from Him. Mm-hmm. It's undeserving that He still gives us gifts, and He still gives us the fruits and all of that. That is a form of grace, you know? But we need to use our gifts to serve others too. We can't take them for granted. Mm-hmm. So the biblical grace definition is undeserved favor or through the kindness or help of God. But the big word there is undeserving, because we're not what He intended to be, unfortunately, with Adam and Eve.
Especially because if somebody had done something to us, I wouldn't be able to... I mean, I would, but, like, people in general wouldn't be able to forgive them even at, like, the biggest thing that they've done. Mm-hmm. So the fact that God just gives that out, we all need to practice that.
For sure. With the help of Him. I found it funny that the regular definition of grace is simple elegance or refinement of movement. So, you know, like a dancer, how they like move elegantly or simple. That's one of the definitions of the worldly. So it's just like very opposite of what God's grace is. Yeah. I just wanted to point that out, because God does not care how we dance, how we look, like how we move our bodies, unless it's
twerking. I was when you said that, I was like, wait, like what about twerking and clapping your booty cheeks and all that stuff?
I mean,
face down, booty up.
If you do it in a bad manner, if you're doing it for exercise, I can say, hey, don't go out like in public. But anyways,
okay, go ahead.
Listen,
I'm listening.
So I just found it crazy how it's so different. And also, by grace we are so many things. We are matured by grace, we're transformed by grace, we're used by grace, we're healed, sustained, forgiven, we are forgiven by grace, and we're saved by grace. Yes, everything God does is with His grace, because it's all undeserving. Everything He gives us or has for us in store, teaches us anything, heals us, it is by grace. And so that word is key in our faith.
It just shows how much He loves you. Well, loves us.
Yeah. And without the blood of Jesus, I don't think there'd be that much grace.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Because He was a tough one before that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And He still is. But you know what I mean? Like, he used His only Son to change the way of everything, and how people went about it. So I'm just glad He did that, because I want His grace and I want all of it.
Yeah, and I just hope that people can accept our love and our grace, because, you know, you could you could say whatever you want to people and act however you want, but it doesn't mean they have to accept it, I guess. Mm-hmm. They could just, I don't know what nice word to use, but they could just, like...
appreciate it? No.
I want to say they would just pee all over it. That's what I was trying to figure out, a good way to say that.
That they don't?
Yeah.
Mm.
And so I hope that they at least have the heart to at least hear out the person. Because, I mean, I feel like it's always the people that are closest to you that hurt you the most. And 100%. I've seen that as well, personally, and just seeing it from the outside in.
Right.
Yeah.
No, it's true. It's
sad. And as close as they are to you, they should know how you have always been or how you are. Like I'm always, like, deep, like, baseline, I'm a nice person. Mm-hmm. So, and people that know me. Would be like, oh, Rachel would never do that, or whatever the case is. So if it's somebody that's close to you, would think that they would know you.
Right.
It's like they try to curate like a different form of personality for
you. That's really, really hard to recollect and think about. Because it's true. Like, the people that love us the most and who are closest to sometimes don't understand us at all.
Mm. And you think that they knew you, but apparently not. Mm-hmm. Or vice versa, actually. Yeah. Like, if you never expected that person to ever say or act like that towards you.
Yeah.
Be like, oh, I thought you were better than that or different or whatever.
Yeah.
People could always switch up on you.
They sure can, but we woo! I just we have to forgive and give grace, girl, to those people.
I just got into my thoughts for a second.
It's okay.
That's what I was thinking of when we were talking about it.
No, it's true. You're human. You get to say these things.
Mm-hmm.
But we also take into consideration what we're called to do.
Mm-hmm.
We can be hurt over and over again by the ones who love us most. We also can have certain ideas that maybe aren't true because we're human. You know, like, oh, how do they, like, they feel this way about me? That's because, obviously, we want to be treated better by them or whatnot.
Let it be a message to you, though. Like, maybe if it's an ongoing thing for multiple people about you, then maybe you should reflect on yourself in a way.
Yeah, in some circumstances. Yeah, for sure. You just need to keep trying. I know it's hard.
And I know we were mainly saying, like, about people who maybe don't show the don't accept the forgiveness or reciprocate it or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But if there are people that want to but don't know how, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I do have some I have a few points written down that could probably help out.
Okay.
Because honestly, like,
can I write this down?
Just kidding. Because I mean, we have to change ourselves from the inside out before for being able to forgive others.
Yeah.
And if you're always talking angrily or negatively, then you won't have the heart or desire to do as Christ and forgive. So a couple of things that I have down is the first one is letting go of bitterness.
Yeah.
Bitter. Don't be bitter. Get better. Oh, I'm sorry.
What if they're bitter to you?
Well, they better get better. And I'll be praying for them. Letting go of bitterness, because holding on to grudges can harm us emotionally and spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
And when someone hurts you, you want to have the upper hand, but the Bible says to bless those that curse you, like how I read before.
Yeah.
And bless, the definition for bless is to speak well of someone who's hurt you, or said praise the person who's
is
scarred
that?
You.
Can you say that again?
Say it for the people in the back. Okay.
Wait, seriously? I did not know that definition.
To bless someone is to speak well of someone who's hurt you or praise the person who's scarred you.
Little goosebumps. Lord, help me. Wow. But can you bless also someone that didn't hurt you, though?
Well, yeah, but genuinely from the bottom of your heart, you know? But
it's just saying, basically, blessing, like, bless someone who is not necessarily perfect to you. And
yeah, this is basically with your words. So Ooh. With your words to bless others, mm-hmm. you gotta speak well of someone who's hurt you or praise the person who scarred you, because honestly, people who have scarred you, maybe they helped you get better with something, and then you know what not to happen in the future, you know?
Yeah,
like, you've learned from it and then you move on. So I feel like I mean honestly, the people in my past that maybe hurt me in some type of way,
mm-hmm.
I obviously forgive them. I'm not bitter towards them or anything, but I praise them, because if it wasn't for them, I probably wouldn't have my eyes open to this, you know what I mean?
Yeah, true.
So I praise them in that way.
So what about if you both hurt each other and the other person just, they hold grudges, they don't want to forgive you, they don't want,
I feel like as long as I release it from my heart,
right,
I don't have anything to.
Right. But they say to praise those who hurt you. So now, like, let's say I have someone who we hurt each other in some ways, and she just shunned and she didn't want to forgive. So now am I called to go praise her? And, like, I'm definitely, I love her and I forgive her.
It's coming out.
I know what you're talking about.
I love and forgive and pray, but now, like, being around a person like that, that's where it is tricky for me personally.
I feel like that person has taught you how to go about things maybe in the future with other people, like who might act mm-hmm. like her or something. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. There's only so much I can do. I can pray and I can be kind and be an example.
Yeah. I remember in the past too with somebody, they were angry towards me or something, and I honestly just kept praying through it, and I think I even sent a couple Bible verses
to them.
Yeah. Oh. And I just like kept praying and talking to God about it and finding some verses, and as I said,
were they Christian?
Supposedly.
Okay.
But I don't think it was at the time, I don't think it was like a true mm-hmm. And I think it showed how like the maturity that I had in it, and
yeah,
all, and it actually got probably the person even more mad because I wasn't doing what they were giving to me. Like, I wasn't mm-hmm. reciprocating that same bitterness, anger, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? And so I think with that, I just had the, I just felt like I already won. I don't know what I'm trying to say.
You won with God almost because you already did.
Yeah, because I had him by my side, you know?
Yeah, so. And you did what you're called to do and forgiving and trying to love them. And
yeah, so yeah. I feel like it made them more mm-hmm. angry, but... You know, at the end of the day, I released it.
I've tried really hard with this person, but they don't want to be in my life at all.
Who knows? Maybe God will send somebody or maybe something in the path that they go in, and maybe mm-hmm. it'll spark of like, oh, I remember her trying to tell me this. Or maybe there's some door that can open that God will.
Yeah, I hope one day.
Try to shine through the creaks of her door.
It was someone very close to me, and it's been a long time. Mm-hmm. Like, 8 years.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
It is a long time, but also you've been in...
I've tried.
In the walk with God now for, what, like 2 years now mm-hmm. almost? And so I feel like 2 years of praying, you got to keep it going. Like, be strong in that. And I feel like he will... Definitely answer. It's just tough because it's in his own time. So it could be a year. It could be 2 years. It could be 3 years. Mm-hmm. It could be tomorrow.
Yeah. Honestly, I'm going to be honest here. I don't bring that up a lot in my prayers, actually. So
you should.
I don't think he's trying to work on it right now because I haven't asked him really much.
Oh, I thought you did because you said you were praying about it.
I have prayed. I'm saying I don't actively every time. You let me, like, all the time. I have prayed about it.
You know what would be cool to do is if like we have like a notebook or something, and just like, because obviously like in our everyday it could be hard to like remember about like a person or whatever the case is, mm-hmm. maybe like write down their names and try to of who you want to pray for, and so every time you know you're going to go into that time of prayer and stuff, like have your notebook and pray for the person specifically until it gets answered, and then change up the prayer after that, you know what I mean? Because obviously once it gets answered and however it needs to be.
Yeah, it's a nice idea.
I feel like it's because when everyday life gets to you and you go into that prayer to pray and stuff like that, I feel like sometimes you could forget.
Yeah.
Or other things are on your mind.
For sure.
So.
Awesome.
So that was just the first step, which is letting go of bitterness. I had a couple others. The other one is, we've briefly mentioned it, pray for the person who's hurt you. Jesus tells us to pray for our enemies. And it could soften our hearts and open up the door to forgiveness.
Yeah.
Because we can't hate and resent someone and pray for them at the same time.
Right. Right.
So when you're able to pray for them, you're doing yourself a favor. And if you pray for someone who's hurt you, you've let go and you've released that forgiveness. And he's forgiven us in our heart and all that we have done. So that's why we have to go to him, so that he can teach us how he does that.
Right.
So that we can do it to others. And also the last one that I have down is, setting healthy boundaries.
Yeah.
I've been trying to do this more often in my life because before it was like a free for all mm-hmm. for me, and now I'm setting the boundaries and everything. And as I mentioned before, forgiving someone doesn't mean you have to remain in a bad situation with them. Those that hurt you the most are closest to you, so.
So that can be tough.
So that's why you gotta set the boundaries that are healthy.
Yeah. No, you have to. What did we learn at church last week? The truth bombs.
Oh, speaking the truth, yeah.
The truth bombs. If you really love someone, you would tell them the truth in a respectful, loving way where it's not hurtful, you know.
And it is biblically.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, biblically.
Mm-hmm.
In the Bible. Especially if it is like a situation to even, it even says to bring a witness with you so that it's not just you and that person, because at least you have somebody with you to back you up on that truth as well. You know what I mean?
Wow. Yeah. Like a therapist. What?
I mean, like, in a situation where, like, let's say you saw something happen and you need a witness with you.
Mm-hmm.
What do you... I'm trying to think of how you're relating that to something.
What? A therapist is a person. Call my therapist up. Say, meet me there. Anyway.
So the Bible speaks of it, actually. And I have it right here. The Bible speaks explicitly in regards on how to deal with someone who's in sin. And you
against
actually...
You.
Against you. What was the verse in Matthew that you read? It was chapter 18.
Yes. It was 21 to 35. It was the big parable.
Read 15 to 17.
15 to 17? Oh, that was before.
Yep.
If another believer sins against you, go privately and point out that offense. If the other person listens and confesses it, you have won that person back. But if you are unsuccessful, take one or two others with you and go back again so that everything you say may be confirmed by two or three witnesses. Wow.
And even if they're non-believers too, you know. And so the goal is to always restore your brother and sister, because we're brother and sisters in Christ.
Yeah.
And never to condemn them. And so in Galatians 6:1, it also tells us how to confront them, which is always gently and humbly.
Yeah.
It's fine to confront people. It's just how you do it that is important.
Yeah.
Don't be harsh, and don't bring yourself down to anybody's level, you know?
Yeah.
So in Galatians 1, it will tell you how to confront that person.
So you start off privately, and if you're unsuccessful with it, then you bring one or two witnesses. And then after that, it says, if that doesn't work, then take it to church.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy, but
wow, that's really good to know. I feel like I've heard this before, but it didn't hit me like right now.
And if you need to know how, go to Galatians 6:1.
Yes. All the answers are in this book.
But all in all, like, even it could be anybody, not even just people who are in church. The way that you come about it, like, make sure you process everything. Make sure you my biggest thing is pray about it before you go up to the person, because God could always give you the clarity or the strength or the wisdom, anything. He'll help you through it and everything, and it'll go even better than what you imagined. And always, as I was saying, never put yourself down to somebody's level. If somebody's coming at you harshly, don't come back at them harshly. Always try to, like, be the upper person.
Don't pay evil with evil.
Yes. I love how all the scripture always just comes back around and, like, together.
Yes, this is all good stuff, guys. I really hope that someone, if not several people, were touched by this topic.
Yeah, and always remember to bite your pride and your ego and be blessed, because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you.
Yep. As long as you humble yourself.
Yes.
All right, I think we had a nice long episode here.
We did.
All right, let's end in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time that we had, and thank you so much for being here with us, as we definitely felt you. And please continue to just walk with us every single day. And we just pray that anyone who's listening that has interest in you, that you please just show them who you are. And I pray that we just take these examples of grace and forgiveness to heart and that we use them in our own lives. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen.
And here's our little hymn.
Which she is so excited about today.
It's a fun one. Listen up.
Love your enemy. Don't pretend to be someone who has grace, but you don't. They don't know what they're doing. Show them the love you've been given. God gives us light, now let's all shine bright. We need to ignite the fire. Let us be the ones who inspire. Through faith, he is our desire. So forgive and spread your light within.
Thank you guys so much for joining our podcast today, and we hope that you join again. If you guys have any questions or topic ideas, feel free to comment below, or you can message us through Instagram. We are CaffeinatedFaith1.
And also, if you guys would like to worship with us or are trying to find like a home church if you're in Rhode Island, we are at Saving Grace Worship Center in North Providence. We're usually there on Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesdays for prayer and a word at 6:30. We welcome you to subscribe to our YouTube page on Spotify, on Apple, called Caffeinated Faith. You can also find us on Instagram, which is Caffeinated Faith 1, or Facebook, Caffeinated Faith.